Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar with its Award of Excellence, with Michael Santucci from the law offices of Santucci Priori, PL, practicing intellectual property, business and entertainment law and litigation. They are located in downtown Fort Lauderdale and can be reached at 500law.com or call 954-351-7474. If you'd like to contact the legal panel hosts and guest, go to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back from our short recess, and that's not the Ricola music. To the listener that sent me the email, that is not. That's Fanfare for a Common Man. And that's what lawyers do. They make it right for the common man as well. You know, real estate is a dynamic issue down here in the state of Florida. Things always change. I've been here 25 years, and it's amazing to me how the landscape has changed, how Boca grew up out of nothing. Now they have multiple 10, 12-story buildings. It's like a Grand Canyon there because of the echoes. I live down there, so I could say that as well. But, you know, it has tremendous issues, and we're very pleased to have Stephen Hoffman, who is a partner with Hackleman, Olive, and Judd. Good evening.
Good evening, Philip. Nice to be here.
I've been into your developments that you were an attorney for, Sawgrass Mills, take that. That's a huge project. It had probably a host of issues that I'd like to talk about when it comes to the development of the property, zoning, and other issues as well. How big was that project?
It was over 2 million square feet. It was a project that I cut my teeth on back when I was a young pup attorney in the late 80s. We started with the development aspect and the acquisition of the property.
I wish your client could have made it a little smaller so I'd have my wife wouldn't force me to walk that far.
But get a Segway. Come on.
That's how I get my exercise. Actually, my wife knows every square inch of that place.
Well, so does mine. Yes.
But it's not just that location. There's the Galleria Mall. We're not just going to focus on malls, but, you know, Galleria Mall, but the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. Great location, a great place to stay as well.
It was an interesting project to work on.
Well, when it comes to the projects in the areas, practice areas of real estate law, when I thought of real estate law, I was just thinking of, you know, closing, title, and escrow services. It's more than that, isn't it?
It's a lot more. So much goes into, especially a commercial project, where you're investigating the property, doing your due diligence, making sure that the property is suitable for your needs.
Well, if you want to buy a property that is not zoned for your intended use, what is the process? How can you actually make the changes?
Well, it basically, you start with making an application to either the city or the county, depending on where the property is located, and you go through there, whether it's site planning, rezoning, land use process, which gets quite involved. Sometimes it takes over 2 years to get a project approved.
And then when the project, like one of these big condo towers, are done, you actually turn it over or process to turn over to the homeowner association. Is that correct?
Yes, usually the developer will hire an attorney to prepare the condo docs, and then after the project is sold out, the developer has a certain amount of time to turn over the project or control of the association to the homeowners.
Well, what makes you unique, and Mike, listen to this. Steve has an engineering degree, civil engineering degree. That's got to help you with the projects that come across your desk.
It really has. It helps me speak the language of developers and contractors and so forth. You know, being able to read plans and understand what developers need and what they're talking about has been invaluable in my legal practice.
Well, yeah, we have engineers in our firm also. You have to be an engineer to be a patent attorney. Right. And at times we've hired patent attorneys and partners with patent attorneys. And my area is intellectual property.
Right.
But
different type of property.
Yes.
Now, recently in the news was a project, and Mike was going over it. Mike, why don't you take it from there?
No, I just I was impressed. Your firm, Hackelman, Olive & Judd, represents a buyer in an $87 million commercial real estate transaction. Appear to be a humble man in our conversation yeah. so far, but tell us about that. That's
sure. It's a 352-unit apartment complex up in Jupiter that our client purchased, and he used the funds from a sale that occurred in New York to purchase property with 1031 tax deferred change. Mm.
That's like that's an exchange then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. From New York to Florida, that's, I mean, we don't have reciprocity for attorneys from New York, do we?
But it's a federal.
Correct. It's a mechanism where a property owner can defer paying the capital gains tax on a sale of a property. Our client sold property in New York, and he used those funds to purchase his property in Jupiter, and they just deferred the tax, mm-hmm. capital gain tax on the sale.
How long does the IRS give you to sink the funds into another qualifying property?
That's a good question. You have 45 days in which to identify replacement mm-hmm. properties, mm-hmm. and then you have 6 months from the closing to close on the replacement property.
Mm-hmm. Variances are part of your practice, correct?
Yes.
And what is a variance?
A variance is when your particular project or property does not conform to the requirements of the zoning code, and so you're asking for relief from the zoning code.
I often have to reach out to attorneys that do what you do. A little bit of our practice is entertainment law, and often our clients have special projects, special entertainment projects, and they're doing it on property that's not zoned for what they're doing, but need to reach out to someone like you to create the exception for them and obtain a variance.
Sure.
And usually that's on the municipal level.
Yes, it is usually in front of the local boards. You have a board of adjustment with the city.
One question that was posed to me regarding yourself had to do with the term land use. Is that the land use aspect to your
That's correct. Land
practice?
Use and zoning, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to issues regarding changes within zoning, if I have a property and they made some changes, that now my business is illegal, is that something that they can contact you about?
Yeah, it's actually referred to as non-conforming. If your project, say it's a gas station that's on a corner of a property and the city rezones that property and your gas station is now not a permitted use, as long as you keep that property used as a gas station, you can keep operating your gas station. But if a fire burns it down or you want to change the use, then you cannot rebuild it as a gas station if it's a non-conforming use.
Well, that comes to an environmental issue. Gas stations or even a dry cleaning a location that did dry cleaning in the strip mall, and I understand there's remediation typically that has to be done, and I mean that's just part of doing business for those type of properties.
That's correct. With environmental concerns, the property owner is generally strictly liable for any environmental problems that occur on his property. So even if he didn't cause the issue, if he inherited the issue, then he's still liable. So it's very important when you're purchasing property to obtain a environmental phase one report to make sure that your property is clean.
Well, some people get confused with variances and easements. We already talked about variances, but what is an easement?
An easement is essentially a right of somebody else to use your property for a particular purpose, and they're commonly used as utility companies use them to run electric lines over your property. They're also used to grant access over somebody else's property so you have access to a street.
And who enforces easements then?
Easements are generally private covenants between property owners and the users, so they would be enforced between who benefits from the easement and who's burdened by the easement.
One issue regarding title work, because your firm does that as well,
yes,
has to do about open permits down here. Open permits seem to be a big issue.
It is a big issue, especially with the advent of computers and so forth. The city's database are readily accessible, and it's now part of the closing process is to ensure that that you do not have any open permits on your property.
But I know in Lauderdale by the Sea, they won't build these buildings that are zoned for two-story like hotels there. And the properties were, it's right there on the ocean, like the restaurant Sea Watch, who wanted to sell their property to develop condos. They won't let them.
Well, the zoning cities have zoning codes that basically restrict what you can and can't do with property, and zoning codes are important to make sure the property is developed in an orderly fashion. You know, some property owners don't like being told what they can do with their property; they want to do whatever. But zoning is very important. Make sure that, for instance, you don't want somebody building a dog kennel next to your house, and that's what zoning protects against.
Or to raise chickens, I'll tell you that.
Right. Can you walk us through the process of requesting a zoning change?
Well, sure. First you identify what you want to use the property for, and then typically you would go in and have a meeting with staff, make sure that they're on board. And they'll give you a list of items that you have to put together for the application. Then you make your application. You'll have anywhere from 2 to 4 public hearings so that the neighbors can come out and voice their concerns. Mm-hmm. And then you address them. And then the city commission will either approve or deny your request.
Fascinating. It is a lengthy process, though?
As I had said earlier, some projects take over 2 years to get approved.
Wow.
Sawgrass Mills was one that took over 2 years.
Well, it's, 2 million square feet, as you said earlier, so I can
understand. Big project.
Yeah, that is huge, and it's very successful. It's a model for around the country as well. And that's to me, it's interesting. That's how you learned your craft, was beginning with a mega project like that.
It was. It was quite an amazing project to be able to cut my teeth on. We had approvals from city, county, state, and federal levels.
Who are the groups that are opposing these zoning changes sometimes, or like a big mall going in? Do you find that they're homeowners groups or spokespeople from a condo association that might be coming into one of these hearings that have a whole bunch of owners behind them that object to the...
Yeah, that's basically about it. Mm-hmm. You have all kinds of neighboring properties that have valid interests that need to be protected, and they want to make sure that this project is not going to impact them.
Yeah, I just know in my own neighborhood there's a piece of property that used to be a golf course, and now it's not being used as a golf course, and half of our neighbors want this developer to put more residential property in there, and the other half don't.
Right.
And even within our own association, there's a big fight about that.
So. Yeah, they're referred to as NIMBYs. Yes. Not in my backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I never heard that. That's funny. I know like Walmart in Pompano Beach was a big issue. It's right there on Federal. People didn't want the traffic and so forth, but they did such improvements to the roads, to the infrastructure around there, and it did not increase traffic dramatically either, and it's been a benefit. And of course, the taxes that were needed for those properties as well was a tremendous benefit.
Sure. I mean, you look at a project like Sawgrass Mills was an economic generator for the city of Sunrise, and it turned that whole city around. And they that project built roads, Flamingo Road from... State Road 595 all the way to Oakland Park Boulevard, and a myriad of other improvements of public infrastructure.
Now, the type of practice for real estate law, you work at all levels, not just these big projects that we're talking about. Those are the fun, exciting ones to capture the listener's attention, and I'm sure they find this interesting because they've been to a lot of these places that you were part of developing as an attorney as well. But you handle smaller type of real estate issues as well, your firm, correct?
Oh, sure. We handle residential closings from single-family homes all the way up to you know, big commercial projects like we just spoke about.
Right, exactly. So what I'm saying to our audience is that if you have a real estate issue, don't be shy. Call them up. This is what they do, and this is what they enjoy. What is the best way to contact you and your firm, Hackelman, Olive & Judd?
Well, our web address is hojlaw.com, and my phone number is 954-334-2250.
Well, I Googled Stephen Hoffman for real estate in Broward County. You came right up there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and your background is phenomenal. You're so modest. Seriously.
Thank you.
As well, you know, again, I always say this, and we do mean this, it just goes by too fast. We certainly have touched just barely on the issues that you address, but you've been very successful in the practice of real estate law that you practice exclusively as well. Stephen, we appreciate you coming on. We want you to stay on to the last segment and help us close out the program.
Sure.
And after the break, we're going to be coming up to talk about the issues from wage and hour to even the status of independent contractor, employment laws ever-changing, and addressing these issues from Lauren King Law, Christina Groeschel, who's also certified in human resources, and this is regarding employment law. We're going to be right back after this short break.